Jackie Sheehy. In it goes now, and a goal! Jack O'Shea, the score!
There they go, raring and tearing and fighting for love, for the land they call Killa, and the Lord up above, Killa la 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 la.
Hello and welcome to Brainstorm, a show exploring new ideas and insights about Ireland and the world. I'm Ronan Kelly. Depending on who you support at club level or what county you're from, it may seem fairly certain where the strongholds are in Gaelic football, hurling and camogie. But what if everything you think you know isn't quite the case, and the massive counties and their super feeder clubs may not continue exactly as they are now? It's happened before to an extent, so Brainstorm wants to ponder where might the next GAA strongholds be. With me are Michael Moynihan, Associate Editor of the Irish Examiner and author of More Than a Game and GAA Economics. Michael is in our Cork studio. Hiya, Michael.
Hello, how are you?
Good. And also in studio here in Dublin is Dr. Hayley Kilgallen from the School of History in UCD and author of Unladylike, The Growth of Ladies Football. Recently a doctor.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, congratulations. God, that's great. What was the thesis about?
It was about the history of ladies' football, but in the broader context of the changing position of women in Irish society over the last 50 years.
I read one story from the research that ladies' football started off as a kind of a carnival novelty.
It did, yeah. So when it first kind of emerged in the early 1970s, it kind of, you'd see it advertised coming up in carnivals and local festivals, and people would be saying, oh, come out and watch, you know, women play football, it'll be a bit of a laugh. But, you know, the women kind of quickly dispelled those ideas that they were, you know, not quite able for ladies or for Gaelic football at all. And then it grew into the serious sport that it is today.
Did anything really dramatic come out of your research? Were there any other stories like that that you came across and you thought, wow?
Well, I guess,
changed.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't see it today, but in the late 1970s, I think it was the All-Ireland Final in 1978, you had a nun playing for Roscommon in the All-Ireland Final. So the idea that they didn't, unfortunately, and she got special permission to come from England to play the final and everything from her mother superior. And yeah, despite all the prayers that were being said in the convent, they still didn't win.
Yeah, there used to be a story of priests changing their names, wasn't there?
Yeah, I believe
I don't know what that was about, though.
Yeah, I guess it is kind of the acceptability of someone from a religious background playing Gaelic football. But again, you probably don't find that many priests or nuns today playing Gaelic football or hurling.
Did you come across that, Michael, at all?
I have actually. My father played an All-Ireland minor football final with Cork, and their two stars were not allowed to play. They were seminarians. So the goalkeeper made his debut for Cork in front of 89,000 people and played accordingly, as you might imagine.
And why would they not let play?
I think it was just unbecoming to the nature of a priest and his elevated position in society. I think the fact that the two of them left the priesthood afterwards always made my father very angry because they didn't even stick to it. Yeah.
And people would have changed their names if they were playing soccer as well, wouldn't they, or playing garrison games?
Yeah, I think the whole thing, certainly with the priests, was that so long as people weren't aware, they could get away with it. But when it became a high-profile game, it was very difficult. I think there was a famous story of a bishop telling some priest who had come to him for permission, he said, "Now that you have come for permission, I am aware that you are going to play and I must forbid you."
Right.
So there you go.
There was another story about, I don't know if you heard this as well, of a player, a Gaelic player, who wanted to go and watch soccer games, but he got into trouble. And because he was so good and they didn't want to bar him, they decided the reason he was going to watch the soccer games was to make sure that there was nobody who played Gaelic at the soccer game. Is that a well-known story?
I've heard that, yeah. He was acting as an official inspector for the GAA, right, to see if other GAA members were there.
Yeah, it does seem like another world, doesn't it? Mm. And in terms of the strongholds, well, first yourself, in terms of football, women's football, where are the strongholds or where were they traditionally?
Yeah, well, I guess it was probably no surprise, like, ladies football only emerged, as I said, in the early 1970s. And then the first like major team emerged in the 1980s, Kerry. So, you know, their men's had a strong tradition. They're the record holder for the most